full moon in Gemini. That's number one, Venus conjunct the South Node. We also have Venus squaring Pluto before she enters Scorpio. So it's a pretty strong Venus week, but also full moons always bring in the oppositions that are inherent in relationship. And it's usually like, if you can't dig into the opposition for yourself, you usually need a mirror. You usually need somebody outside of you to be able to bounce something off of so that you can see more clearly.
Welcome to your weekly astrological weather. This is your place to get practical guidance for not only surviving, but thriving with the cosmic tides.
Hi, everyone. Welcome. We are so happy to have you here with us today. You are now part of a global astrological discussion that takes place each and every week. So if you're new here, please don't forget to hit that subscribe button and the notification bell to stay updated on all of the current content and the new content that we have in store for you. For those of you who do not know me, my name is Jamie McGee. I'm an astrologer and one of the hosts here at Astrology Hub. Okay, so today we're going to be exploring the astrological influences for the week of November 27th through December 3rd with Astrologer Connect, astrologer Nur Rochelle. Now, before we do, I just want to make sure that I give you guys this one quick announcement, which I'm sure you've already heard about, but we are going to be taking a brief pause in December. So that means that this is the last weekly weather that you're going to be seeing for just a couple of weeks. Now, we're doing this so we can get nice and refreshed and rejuvenated on this podcast. This is a time for us to kind of work behind the scenes to bring you some exciting new shows or offerings when the new year comes around. But we're not going to be silent through December, so don't worry about that. We'll be able to engage with you by sharing some of our older podcasts, things that we have restructured, and we really want to like make sure that you're still aware of. There's some really golden, beautiful things that we have explored here on Astrology Hub that you'll be able to enjoy during this hiatus. We are always endlessly grateful for your support and that curiosity that you have about astrology. It definitely fuels our community. Your enthusiasm is what drives us to delve deeper and bring fresh perspectives to this podcast. Now, as we prep for this exciting new chapter, we invite you to enjoy everything that we have in store for you in this coming month. We're really thrilled about what we have on the horizon for you. I wish we could tell you more right now, but we're just going to have to be in suspense and we'll catch you in January. But for right now, we get to delve into this beautiful week ahead with this absolutely beautiful astrologer, Nur Rochelle. Those of you who haven't met her yet, you're in for a treat. Nur integrates astrology with energy work and yoga principles to foster self-love and a lot of actionable insights, which is what we always need. When we have the tools now, what do we do with them? And I love the insights that she brings. But welcome in, Nur. It's great to see you.
Thank you, Jamie. It's great to be back. And what an honor, too, to get to share right before this hiatus. Wow. I think it's also so wonderful to take a break and just refresh and rejuvenate. So needed. Yeah.
The week that we're signing off on, what would be the theme that you would say that we're stepping into right now?
So finding the right people to talk to so that you can come to more expansive understanding. That is really what has been coming through for me.
Finding the right people to talk to. Look, and everyone listening, you're in the right place. It's like you're on your way, right? So like, what would be your suggestions to finding? Is that kind of like finding your tribe? Is that what you're thinking about? Or like safe vents?
I think it could be. It will depend on where you have certain transits moving through your chart. But there's such a strong theme of one-on-one relationships as well. So I have a few different transits that are coming to mind specifically about that I know we'll talk about more, but really the purpose of Sagittarius season energy is for this consciousness expansion. But in order to come to what is the highest expression of that right now, I think mirroring and really understanding who we are allowing to be our mirrors as well is going to be a really big theme.
I love that. And as a Sagittarius rising in a stacked Sag house, like I can tell you personally, I've already been experiencing that. Like I was working on that, like at moving up to this, like really noticing what I let into my energetic field. Like, was I addicted to the negative emotion or the positive emotion? And how could I interchange that or work with that? So I love that that's kind of being pulled into the collective. So what are some of the biggest transits we'll look at this week that are influencing this theme?
So full moon in Gemini, that's number one. We also have Venus conjunct the South Node. We also have Venus squaring Pluto before she enters Scorpio. And then we also have Mercury entering Capricorn. So it's a pretty strong Venus week, but also full moons always bring in the oppositions that are inherent in relationship. And it's usually like, if you can't dig into the opposition for yourself, you usually need a mirror. You usually need somebody outside of you to be able to bounce something off of so that you can see more clearly.
Absolutely. So like with a full moon in Gemini, that's like a dualistic kind of energy or like a changing energy, mutable. Like, do you have any tips for the audience about how to work with a full moon energy this week? Anything that they want to keep in mind with that elevated energy?
I think it's staying open. One of the highest expressions of Sagittarius is being open-minded. And then with Gemini, it's curiosity. So open-mindedness, curiosity, I think that can really carry us through.
Okay, awesome. So staying open and being very curious. And then like Venus into Scorpio, do you have any feels about that energy? I love that though. I think it's where we get to go deep, but I love
it. Yeah, that's really what it is. It's going in deep. I think after having all of these conversations, how do we go in and emotionally process it? So I think first with Venus in Libra, we become more aware of who is mirroring, who we are allowing to mirror, who are we talking to, who are we reaching out to and leaning into for support? And also whose voices are we allowing to maybe create some sort of projection field around us, around who we are and our own values? And then when we move into Scorpio, now we start to process that and integrate it and feel it and really see, okay, what of that is true? What of that actually passed the test? Like we start to go into the alchemical cave of, okay, what starts to pass the test of what I'm taking with me into this future?
Yeah, that's rich. I love that. We can take a little bit of an internal dive. I just keep thinking about like your whole theme, like finding the right people to speak to or talk to. What would be something to look for to know that you're talking to the wrong people? Like what triggers would you notice?
So one of the shadows of Libra is projection and codependence. And so if we are finding that we are feeling pretty dependent, almost hyper-dependent on what somebody else's projection of us is, that could be an indicator of like, maybe this either isn't the right person to be talking to. Maybe we're putting a lot of expectations on to other people to understand us. And something that I've really noticed in working with Libra energy is that not everybody has the same capacity to hold space for us. And even if that person in some moments in time has the capacity to hold space for you, maybe in that moment that you're trying to talk to them, they don't. So I think there's an awareness of I can't look at every single interaction, even with the same person, on equal footing in terms of how much of myself I'm able to open up or how much truth or reliable information I'm always able to get. Like we have to keep coming back to these relationships in the present moment and not just having these expectations or even, you know, the need for somebody else to understand us or be able to give us reliable advice. It's going to be very dependent on the energy that both people are bringing to the table in that moment. So I feel like that's where that is coming from, really observing the shadow of Libra, especially because Venus will be with the South Node. There's some sort of shadow tendency coming into play here. We want to look at not only the relationships of specific people, but our own relationship dynamics. Like maybe where do we have a little bit too much dependence on what somebody else is saying or what somebody else is thinking of us that can sometimes feel a little bit disempowering to our own self-understanding. Like we can rely too much on the projection of others and start to believe that that's who we are or that that's our value. And the square to Pluto is just echoing that. It's like, there's something karmic here. There's something rippling from deep beneath the surface that maybe we're not always consciously aware of, but we become aware of it through our conversations, through just listening to, okay, am I starting to engage in a pattern of conversation with somebody where all of a sudden I'm feeling like I'm giving away all my power to them to define me or to give me the answer, right? Because Libra does not like to be in indecision. It's like, I want to know, I want to make this pros and cons list. I want to understand what's happening. But it's, you know, we can value the information that we receive from somebody else, but we also need to be able to turn it in too. So it's finding that balance.
Beautiful. And I can see like this, you know, really playing out in like one-to-one relationships. But I'm also thinking too that like in our modern age, unfortunately, a lot of our relationships are online. Are there, like, I posted this and only so many people liked it or so many people engaged it or whatever. Like, we're looking at the response from the collective. Are people that we like, oh, well, no one said this, they like this, or vice versa. Do you think this energy will kind of play into that?
I think so. Absolutely. I think there's a lot of ways that that could come up. So in an example of maybe somebody disagreeing with something that you wrote or having just a different opinion, I think it's, first of all, just having factual awareness of what's going on. Like, is this a person that you continually engage with online, or is this a random stranger who just is really opinionated? I think sometimes we kind of say, oh, everybody's equal on the internet, but it's like, but that's not real. Like, that's not true. Like, I don't think we should be necessarily giving everybody equal power of, you know, their opinion influencing us online. I think it's always, we have to be more discerning and more able to spot the nuance and the details. It's like, oh, my friend who's commenting to something online, I'm going to listen maybe a little bit deeper, or I'm going to lean into the nuance of what they're saying. And maybe when it's a perfect stranger, I'm going to take it with a grain of salt. I don't know how much how much of my content they've engaged with. I don't know what's going on in their life. Like, there's so many missing details. Mm-hmm. And I think that sometimes we just take it at the surface level. Like, that's sometimes another shadow of Libra, is to stay in the shallow end. So we'll take things on the surface level and make it mean something. And I think with the South Node involvement here, there's an opportunity to actually let go of some of that. It's almost like we can see, where have we been really attached to, you know, if we're talking about social media, like attached to likes or followers or people engaging and feeling like that's building up our worth, maybe we're getting the opportunity to see, you know, maybe it's not about quantity. Maybe it's more about quality. Like, I want to have real meaningful engagement with people rather than just, people just trolling or...
Oh, I love that. Quantity over quality. I think that that's a brilliant line right there, because that's something that I do think that gets overlooked and the richness of it. And just, you know, I think I've worked with the public a long time, and I've noticed that sometimes we're all human and we all kind of get into our own funnels. We all see things a certain way. And a lot of times when like some kind of lashing or some kind of comment has come that way, it doesn't have anything to do with you. Like, they've had a fight with their partner that day, they've had a bad day at work or whatever, and you're the source. You're the source that it comes out at. And then, you know, if you bat back, I don't think it helps anything. So it's just kind of like being like taking the, like rising above the situation. Like, you know, Libra does like to balance it. It does have to stay shallow, but it's like, will this matter in 5 years? Like, what does your opinion want to be? And there's that whole other train of thought that's like, hang around with people or be with people, or notice and watch people's opinions of who you want to become and be like. So like, if you start like looking down or pulling from negative energies or shadows, like, how is that empowering you? If you're trying to balance in that Libra way, or try to like be dualistic and see both sides of it, like in the Gemini moon, like, I see how you see this and I see how I see this, but it could be a trick of light. Like, this is your opinion. Now, will it be your opinion, you know, if you had more facts? And then everyone else has a different, we know from astrology, every one of us has a very unique, original, one of a kind chart that won't be repeated for millions of years. Only you're the only person on the planet with your perspective. So don't be ashamed to share it. And like, also, I think like the Gemini curiosity will probably serve as well. Like, well, I wonder if you're having a bad day. I'm going to send you, I don't know who you are, you know, number such and such with no profile picture, but I really do hope you have a great day. Kind of like close your eyes.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there's something interesting too that comes up in all of that. It's like, in this digital age, we have very interesting assumptions and expectations of other people, where we think because all knowledge, all information is readily available, we have this expectation that everybody should know everything and have the same, very similar opinion about it. And I think we're always kind of working through the shadow of that. And so that could be something, especially with the full moon from Sun and Sagittarius shining on Gemini, where we're seeing that, like, where are we making assumptions? And And how can that also connect with Libra? Because Sagittarius and Libra are sextile, just like Moon and Gemini, and Libra are sextile archetypes as well. So there's this air and fire, and how are they sort of mixing? And really, I just think there's an opportunity here to just come to greater clarity. I mean, life can be confusing enough.
Yes.
How can we make it a little bit more simplified for ourselves?
Well, I'm so curious how this is going to unfold over the day. So like, let's dive in Monday. What is going on Monday and how can we work with that?
So Monday, November 27th is the full moon in Gemini. It's at 4 degrees, 51 minutes Gemini. It's very early morning. So really, we might even already be feeling into this over the weekend leading up to it. So involved with the full moon, we also have Mercury in Sagittarius, square Neptune in Pisces. So that's already accentuating some of the themes that we already brought in around confusion, clarity, and focus. This full moon is also square Saturn at 0 degrees Pisces. And then the sun is conjunct Mars in Sagittarius. So there's a lot of pieces involved with this full moon, which I think is just perfect when we're talking about Gemini. Gemini is pretty good at multitasking. And together, I think one of the highest integrations of Sagittarius and Gemini is the ability to hold space for a lot going on. They're mutable signs. They both are very flexible and adaptable. And where I see some of the challenge in this full moon is perhaps feeling kind of moored in space, right? If we're thinking about that Mercury square Neptune involved, if we're thinking about the full moon square Saturn in Pisces, the combination of Sagittarius and Pisces can sometimes be kind of ungrounding. Like sometimes that's what we want. We want to tap into our imagination. We want to tap into the greater fantasies of life, the possibilities, the greater truths. But a lot of times with Sagittarius and Pisces, they are not things that can be proven. They are theoretical. It is inherently ungrounding in that sense if you go too far. So there's something I think about the Gemini kind of bringing in the balance of, okay, like, can we be scientists about this? Can we find facts? Can we find details that maybe prove these theories? So they can work really well together in that sense and maybe help us feel a little bit more rooted and anchored into truth. This full moon in Gemini is really highlighting the axis of information and ways of knowing, perception, and truth. So what's our relationship with all of that right now? It's always changing. And these mutable signs are going to, you know, point out, okay, what is being changed about my beliefs? What is maybe coming into my field, either something brand new or something that I'm remembering? And is it coming through from the people in my life? Is it coming through from the books I'm reading or the podcasts I'm listening to? Where is it coming from and how am I able to allow it to expand my vision, my consciousness? So I think it's a really beautiful way to start the week. Full moon's
very potent.
Yeah, it's super potent. It's a lot of energy and we're just kind of hitting the ground running, really.
Yeah, absolutely. It sounds like it. So Sun Mars, do you feel like, what kind of nuance do you think that brings into it? Is that anything, what's a positive way to use Sun Mars, I guess, is my Sagittarius question.
I think of activation.
Okay.
And maybe finding and connecting with either theories or beliefs or perceptions that are energizing. That's a question that I often use, especially in my work with clients. It's like when we're in, you know, when we're faced with a lot of options, whether it's big life choices or day-to-day small life choices of what am I going to do first? I always think do the thing that is more energizing first, because then you're going to have more energy for the subsequent things that you do later. It's just a very practical offering, right? And that's, I think Mars can help us to connect with that. Mars can help, you know, if we look into Mars in our own natal chart, we can see, okay, this is what is energizing for me. This is my way of moving and being that helps me to feel really alive. And then with the sun and Mars both being planets associated with vitality, them coming, the conjunction was earlier and in Scorpio, but they're still kind of hanging out together.
Yeah.
In these early degrees of Sagittarius. And I think they can be very energizing and maybe paying attention to the beliefs, because Sagittarius is a sign that points to beliefs. What are the beliefs that are energizing for you? And noticing, you know, are there beliefs that are taking away energy? Are there beliefs that are maybe unnecessarily activating or triggering? Like, we're going to have a whole process and spectrum of experience in relation to these transits. But, you know, noticing, okay, what am I believing? What am I thinking about that is leaving me feeling energized? Okay, make note of that. What am I believing and thinking about that is leaving me feeling drained and exhausted? And just look at that. Just be aware of that.
Brilliant. I love that. I love that balance of that too. Because I do think that, like, I love what you said about the vitality of it, because it almost gives you the courage to kind of keep going. And then when you look at the wisdom side of it, or the truth side, it's like the courage to look at something, a truth that maybe you're not ready for. Like, that's something I think we've been in the mix of for a little bit. Like, well, this is the truth of it. This is what the books look like. This is the bottom line here. And this is what you've contributed. And this is how you can pivot and change. But having that courage and that duality and that flexibility. Good stuff. Love it. All right. Well, that was a lot for Monday. What are we doing on Tuesday?
So Tuesday, we're still in that perhaps, you know, full moon hangover energy, still in the processing and reflecting of it all. By this time, the moon in Gemini moves forward in the sign and will trine Venus and the South Node in Libra, which I'll be speaking more about that Venus South Node for the following day. But I think the moon trine is going to just help us have more emotional awareness. So with all the themes that we've brought in already around truths and ways of knowing and conscious conversations and relationship dynamics and projection, the moon in Gemini trine Venus and South Node in Libra, I think, is just going to bring emotional awareness of all of that. So we might feel, especially with moon in Gemini after a full moon, we might feel very social, or we might feel very just like more excited, like letting our curiosity take us somewhere. Whether, I know for me, it's like if I just need to get out sometimes and go be in public spaces, just to tap into the collective energy. It's like, oh, do I want to go to a cafe or a library or just somewhere where it's like, maybe I'll just bump into a stranger and strike up a conversation with them. And that's usually how I tend to feel when the moon is in Gemini.
Yeah. I love it. Like, it's like a lot of times, some parts of the world, like, you know, people still do that. But it's interesting. Right. Last night I was at dinner and I noticed that these two tables were talking to each other, and I thought that they were friends, but they had just met. It was two older couples. And I think that they commented something, and then they were chatting when we got there, and they were still chatting when we left. And I was like, wow, like that's a connection right there. Cause you could hear that there was some kind of energetic. I just wanted to ask them for their charts, but I love that. Like, yeah, I'm just gonna start up a conversation. I'm gonna see how, like, oh, you're going through that too. This is my experience too. And really working with whatever the full moon brought to your life, like getting excited about that. Let's see that. Now, where do I go? All right.
Yeah. And I think too, with the Venus South Node, there could be an opportunity to bump into an old friend, bump into somebody that maybe you haven't seen in a while. And it reminds you of a part of yourself you haven't been in contact with in a while. So
those haunting mirrors of the past, like, oh, I remember you. I know who you are, because I was that at your age. I was there too. And then you have that like knowing look on your face, like, I know what's coming next. For you can use that Gemini curiosity to ask, you know, your mentors, or be a mentor to other people. But yeah, perfect.
So Wednesday, November 29th is when we have the Venus South Node conjunction exactly. And that is at 24 degrees of Libra. So thinking about where you have that in your chart will be very potent. Venus is also in application. She's applying soon in a couple days to that square with Pluto. So I would kind of bring some of that conversation into this, because both South Node and Pluto have strong resonance with karmic themes of our life. And a lot of times looking at the unconscious, looking at where we have become very attached to patterns, where do we kind of get to break up with the familiar in favor of what will actually be in higher service. So thinking about all of the relationship dynamics, whenever I'm tapping into Libra, I'm thinking about all of the nuance of contrasting values and the polarity and the paradox. And we've already been working with that a lot, especially since the eclipse season with the South Node and Libra. And we get to work with this for the coming year. So So we're already processing a lot, but having a personal planet or an inner planet come and connect with the South Node, especially the node that she rules, that is the node that she's ruling. And so she's a core guide for this time. I think she really just wants us to look at our past relational patterns and then dynamics and just really get clear on how we got here. I almost feel like with the South Node, there's always a bit of a process of letting go and learning how to surrender and feel safe in our surrender. But Venus can make things feel a little bit more harmonious. It's like we can feel more safe to let go if that's what's needed. Like maybe we won't feel like we need to hold on so much because we're in more of that trust that this is actually benefiting me. This is benefiting you. This is benefiting all of us if I'm able to just soften into this change. And that's usually what comes up too when Pluto is involved, the fear of change. Like we want to hold on like death grip to these patterns that we've become so accustomed to that, yeah, I think Venus might just make it a little bit more easeful.
Yeah, I can definitely see that too. And it like helps you, it almost gives you like this, there's a reason for everything kind of quote. You know what I mean? Venus is like, or like that old like country song, like think like by Garth Brooks at the dance. Like we had the dance, like we went through this experience together. This was our time. This was our purpose. And this led me to this point. And I love how it's kind of like a soothing balm because like the eclipses in the fall were a little, they're drastic collectively and personally. And they had us looking at our past and our future. So I think Venus, I like how this energy is going to kind of come in and be like, you know what? Yeah, life has its challenges. But this history, this rich part of it, it's going to carry on with you. Like you're not really letting it go. It's woven into your energy, into your spirit, and everything has a time and everything has a season. And yeah, I love that. So I can also see like people from the past coming back around to help you, like elevate you, to get you to that new horizon. Like they may be someone that you've been disconnected from for a long time. Or it was in a quote, another life, because it was prior to being married, prior to kids, or prior to educating, moving, whatever, and insert the variable. And now you're like, oh, wow. And so it gives you an awareness of where you are now in life. But they're also like, remember this fire you have. I know it's in you and use this fire to go here kind of thing. So
I love that. Yeah, I love that. I think that really speaks also to the North Node in Aries. So she's conjunct the South Node, but opposite the North Node. And so they're going to have this relationship, this connection. I think something else that's really interesting too about the time we're in with Venus is she's still in her morning star phase. And we are still working with the throat chakra. If we follow the Venus gate practice, which comes from the shamanic astrology school of thought. So we're healing and clearing so much in our throat chakras. This has been from November 9th and it'll be through until December 9th. And so in, you know, working with Libra and clearing in the throat chakra, I mean, it's old conversations. Like, is there something that we even need to remember? I think this is a great time to actually speak things into surrender and you know, talking to other people can help. And this, I think, is really where I was coming to that, you know, finding the right people to talk to. I know something for me, I've noticed in my relationships, especially, is like I can be feeling the need to express myself, but maybe I don't even know what I need. Like, and so then I start talking to somebody else and then they're not understanding me because I'm not understanding me. I'm coming to a place already kind of with a level of confusion, in internal confusion. And I'm almost like hoping that by expressing something outward that this other person is going to be able to help me feel more clear. And so it can get messy, right? Like we can have, again, all these expectations and, you know, projections. Like if I speak this out loud, if I do the vulnerable thing and open up, this person's going to understand me. And it doesn't always work that way. So I feel like there's this heightened awareness of who we're speaking to and how, and just heightened awareness of our needs. Like, how much more can we be clear of our need? And even if our need is to just be held while I speak out my confusion, like maybe I don't need an opinion. Maybe I need you to know that I am confused right now. And I'm not necessarily looking for advice. I just want to be held in this. So much of it, I think, is being pretty direct, which Sagittarius Sun will help. is being very direct and blatant about what you're needing so as to not create more of that confusion or more of that dependency. And that's actually how I think Libra and Sagittarius can work together quite well. So, you know, finding your people to talk to, finding your voice, doing your journaling, and asking yourself maybe the question first before you go in with somebody else might be a good practice, especially if you tend toward the side of the spectrum where you're always asking somebody else first.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, where you need like their opinion. I think I read it, like there's a quote somewhere. It says like when we ask someone's opinion, we're really looking for someone to agree with us, not to like give us that, you know, opposition feeling.
I think you bring up a good point in that too. It's like finding the people who I think are going to validate you, love you, whether or not they agree with you, but who are going to honor your insights.
Well, sometimes it's like it's a different level of awakening and experience. Yeah. And I really have worked on this personally. Like if I don't want to convince anyone, if I have to convince you that something is actual or real, then you're not ready to understand it or we're not in the same bubble. So like if you're...
That's Sagittarius wisdom right there. I think you summed it up because that's what it is.
Yes. If you're going to spend all your energy trying to convince someone to a belief of yours, that's not a good way to use that Mars. That Mars is more like, this isn't your fire. Let me take my candle and light this fire. Let me light this fire and then like let that come back at you. So that awareness of how it's being received is good, and don't let it deflate you, you know? Don't let
anyone... Totally. Yeah. And I think that brings up too, like if we think of the shadow of Sagittarius can be like proselytizing, you know, like getting up on the soapbox and being dogmatic and preaching. And it's like, I think that does come from that needing to convince or persuade energy versus like you can take that passion and that enthusiasm that Sagittarius brings, but bringing it to the people who are already asking for it.
Ready for it.
To the people who want it, who are in the space to listen.
All right. So we're getting towards the end of the week. How do you feel about Thursday?
So Thursday, Mercury is in the last degree of Sagittarius. So maybe we're doing some tying up of old beliefs or, you know, tying up of old or adventures. Maybe they're not old. Tying up of adventures that we've been taking in our mind, whether it's literally or figuratively. I know I have a Mercury in the final degrees of Sagittarius and it's conjunct the galactic center. So I live with that feeling of, okay, there's so much to explore. It's like a literally never-ending horizon, that galactic center. It's, you know, it's pulling us, but then we're like, is there ever an end? No, there isn't.
No, that's where my rising is. No, there's no end.
Yeah, you get it. You get it.
Yeah, I got it.
And so that can be both fun. It can be exciting. We can really fire up our passions. But sometimes, you know, if you're experiencing the shadow side of that, it can be like too big. And you can almost feel like you're moored in space, like moored in this kind of very disembodied place. And so as we're tying up, you know, Thursday, November 30th, and then into Friday, December 1st, when Mercury enters Capricorn, I think we'll be able to take all of that, you know, expansive quality of mind that happens with Mercury in Sagittarius and then bring it into something practical, rooting. I can do something with this. I can start to, you know, ferret out the things that I'm like, oh, that was an interesting rabbit hole, but don't need to keep going that way. And I can, you know, really root it into something that I want to be building. So I think that will be a really nice way to, you know, come to some practical application after the Sagittarian meandering. Saturday, we have Mercury in Capricorn, 1 degree Capricorn, sextile Saturn, 1 degree Pisces. And so I think this is just furthering the opportunity for rooting our, you know, mental fancies into reality. And we can really get some support from the sextile, Mercury sextile to Saturn. What I love about this sextile is that although, you know, it's Saturn and Capricorn, very practical, Saturn is in Pisces, and both Capricorn and Pisces share an overlay of the archetype of the mermaid. There's something mystical about both of these signs. So I think it'll be a really great time to whip out your fantasy fiction novels, if that's what you're into, or, you know, watch some inspiring movies that are kind of they're in that bridge place between fantasy and reality, the place that's inspiring, the place that is like, this is helping me to imagine a brighter world. And I can do something practical with this information. I can you know, if I'm watching something about magic, I can remember that life is magical. Maybe it doesn't look like what it looks like on the screen, but I have my own very real, tangible experience of that. So I think it's a nice balance, Capricorn and Pisces, of the mystical and the mythopoetic and how to bring it into life in a way that's fun, but still very rooting and grounding.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yes, I can't wait for that weekend. I'm going to be all about it. Like,
I know, me too. There's something too about the mermaid energy that it's just this remembrance of the time before. What was the time before? Whether it was the time in our womb, the time before we incarnated into this body. And there can be a lot of reminiscence. And so this is why I think connecting to fantasy helps us connect again to that bigger cosmic womb, that bigger cosmic vision. And so kind of taking that and applying it to everything else that we've been talking about, because it's not happening in a vacuum. It's happening, you know, right after this Venus South Node conjunction and in the same week of the full moon. I think maybe we can take some inspiration, whether it's from favorite characters that we like. How are they being in relationship? Another way to work with this might be looking at, well, how have our ways of being in relationship been informed by fantasy? And can we afford to continue to, you know, compare our lives, our real life relationships to fantasies? Like, there's all these different ways of being with that. And so kind of seeing, like, where are you on that spectrum? Do you need a little bit more romance, a little bit more fantasy? I know for me, if I'm feeling like I need some more romance, I need some more fantasy, but it's like still somewhat grounded, I watch Outlander. Have you seen that show?
Oh my gosh, yes. I read it first and then I watched it. And it's definitely
such a good book.
Yeah, kind of brings in all the elements of it for sure.
Totally. So that's an example that comes to mind, and it's, you know, it's real enough that it's like, maybe this is possible. Maybe I could just step in to another portal of existence. Yeah. I could time travel. You know, this is bringing in all of this, the Capricorn and Saturn, like history, like historical fiction could also be part of it too. So
that's a beautiful archetype to kind of call in, because it is a very practical situation where magic is used and like having to. Yeah. I love how it kind of like turns around for the week, though, you know, because just like it's just like this big bowl of like, you know, this is how we step into a big full moon energy, a lot of opportunity. We have this like reconnection with our like, it's like a youthful, but also grounded, your past going deep, having a lot of energy, and then kind of ending it on this really practical note to be. It seems like there could be some aha moments, especially like this time of year, because we're watching familiar movies, we're listening, they're going to familiar places and songs, and those memories are coming. They're really rich right now, whether they're positive for you or challenging, or it's almost like you can go into the movie of your own life. And that practical magic could be like sometimes I envision, if I could go back and tell my 12-year-old self something, or my 18-year-old self something, what would I tell her if she was sitting across from me? Like, how would I guide her? And like almost envision like what would, like, imagine what that person would do if she had known this information at that time in her life. Like, what world would we be living in, you know? So just like, that's practical magic, because if you can envision the past and the future and how you can interplay in your own fantasy in your own world, it's very powerful. The mind is a very powerful thing. So this is Gemini, and then you have a Gemini full moon, then you have this practicality of Saturnian energy, kind of like bring that into reality. Like, because you even talked about going to the galactic center and going like way out. It's kind of like we go way in, way out, and we come home, and this practical fantasy deluge of oneness. So
And then we close the week with Venus entering Scorpio, so we get to take all of that beautiful inspiration and exploration and just bring it in and feel it. I mean, that's ultimately, I think, what Venus in Scorpio is inviting us into. It's feel it to heal it, you know, accessing those internal emotional resources, really accessing what is hidden and going purposefully into the depths, and just to bring more love there, because that's what Venus is. She's the planet of love. So can we bring more love to the things that maybe we don't often notice because they're hidden or underneath the surface, or things that maybe we're even afraid of looking at? But I think that we're actually very well equipped with everything that's happening before Venus enters Scorpio, because we get to do a lot of external resourcing. Like Sagittarius, Gemini, and Libra are all yang sign, so very connected to external resourcing from other people. But then when Venus comes into Scorpio, we get to take it all in to our alchemical soul cave and see, okay, now how do I get to do some internal resourcing?
Yeah,
after all of that inspiration. So yeah, it's a nice way to end the week.
Definitely it is. It's a nice way. But is there anything else that you would like to say to just kind of like button up the week? Like if you had words of wisdom?
I think it's paying attention to nuance and really trusting in your capacity to always return to your center. So even if you go on these adventures, you go on these explorations, you read different books, you engage and entertain in fantasies, like there is a part of you that is unchanging and always connected to that oneness, that awareness. And so it's totally fine to go and play it, but you can always come back if you're ever, you know, lost in overwhelm. You know, you can always come back to yourself, back into your body. And I think that's a general life theme that I know I'm working on. So that's pretty much the wisdom that I always have to share. It's, you know, your body is a safe place to be and you are more resourced than you may ever realize.
Well, Nora, this has been a pleasure to connect with you. And I look forward to connecting with you, I'm sure, in the sphere of the future. I just want to remind everyone, even though the weekly weather is taking a break, you can still keep in touch with astrology, with the astrology of the week through our newsletter. Now, that's the Cosmic Insider. It's an amazing insider that you'll get each week, kind of giving you a big summary of what we covered on the podcast, what we covered in our community, and some insights and thoughts that you can work with. Now, you can get on this list. All you have to do is go to astrologyhub.com/insider. That's astrologyhub.com/insider. You'll be in the know as we go through this hiatus, but you'll also be in the know and ready to go as we move into 2024. And also, before we go, I wanted to make sure that you guys all know that Nora is one of the featured astrologers on Astrologer Connect. This is an amazing platform where you can book and speak directly with an astrologer. And right now, Nora has a special discount just for the listeners of this podcast. It's going to get you 10% off a reading for the year ahead. And all you need to do to connect with Nora is go to astrologyhub.com/NuraConnect. And your code to get this discount, this very special 10% just for the listeners of this podcast, is Nora Weather. And we'll make sure that we put this under the broadcast for you as well. But Nora, I'm sure you're going to get a lot of fantastic people ready to connect with you and talk about 2024 on that platform very soon.
Yes, looking forward to it.
Well, thank you so much for that generous discount and for being here on the Weekly Weather, giving us so much amazing insight as we move into this next week and finish out this year. But thanks again. And thank all of you for being here. Thank you for making astrology a part of your life. And we'll catch you on the next episode.
So full moon in Gemini, that's number one. We also have Venus conjunct the South Node. We also have Venus squaring Pluto before she enters Scorpio. And then we also have Mercury entering Capricorn. So it's a pretty strong Venus week, but also full moons always bring in the oppositions that are inherent in relationship. And it's usually like, if you can't dig into the opposition for yourself, you usually need a mirror. You usually need somebody outside of you to be able to bounce something off of so that you can see more clearly.
This podcast is presented by Astrology Hub. You can learn more and find all of our shows at astrologyhub.com/podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please rate, review, and hit subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so you can stay up to date on the latest episodes and help more people find the wisdom of astrology. Thank you for taking the time to do this now. Thank you for being a part of our community and for making astrology a part of your life.